I wanted to review for a moment. We got a little bit, I think I may have even, perhaps I misspoke yesterday in the discussion of the onion which is cut with a knife twice. And I looked up in the Sefer Davar Charef, and I want to just, forgive the pun, I want to sharpen what we said yesterday in the following manner. Because there were two cases, and I got between one and the other, it wasn't completely clear. The first case was if he cuts the onion with a flay sugar knife, then he cuts the onion with a parva knife. That's the actual case which is described in the Morgan Avraham and the Evan Ozer that we saw in print, where the Morgan Avraham says it's usur. And what do you mean it's usur? I mean, if you use that parva knife now to cut something else, it's going to be fleshik. So the parva knife became fleshik, and that's exactly the case he's discussing. All right, that's the chiddush of the Morgan Avraham. And Evan Ozer, that's wrong, it's not correct. Not all of it comes in. It's still considered not by not with respect to that knife. The knife remains parva. That's case number one. Obviously, in that case, the second cutting has no impact on the onion because it's just cutting with a parva knife. So it's the more complex case, what happens if you first cut a fleishka knife and you cut with a milchika knife? Thank you. The Evan Ozer says nothing, and the truth is, from the perspective of the svar of the Evan Ozer, it might be a problem. Because let's review again. I think maybe if you see it inside, you'll see what I'm driving at. So we mentioned two svaras yesterday, but this I think is an afkamina between the two svaras, and I wasn't so clear, to use the expression before, sharp, and delineating this yesterday. So let's take a look for a minute in the Evan Ozer found at the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch that you have in Siman Tzadi Vav. On Sif Gimel. So the case that the Evan Ozer is describing, we read it already yesterday in Shia, I'm not going to read it again. But just the case. What's the case that the Morgan Avraham is speaking about? You have something which you cut with a fleshika knife, then you grind it in a parva grinder, and he paskins that the parva grinder becomes fleshiks. And if you put some onions on it or some afterwards, they're fleshik, you can't put it in milk. So he says that's incorrect. Why? Because he says that the chiddush of a davar charif is that it pulls out from the knife into the onion the entirety of the taste. That is correct. However, the other way around is not correct. So therefore, when you, in effect, to use our example, when you cut the onion with the parva knife, let's read what it says in here, it'll be easier to see. Look what it says over here, look. It's not barnat. Min abosor l'sakin tamechod shenichnes ktsas l'sakin. Only a little bit goes into the actual implement. Umin asaka and yetzik gotza kol ma'asher basocho, we call it into the onion. Okay? And then it goes from the onion into the second knife, tam sheni, udehetera, because not everything comes out from the onion into the knife. It only works in one direction. Dafka the hetmech says davar charav motzi kol hatam minakli, not mavliya bikli. Only a little bit. That's what he brings a raya from the gemara. That's the case over here. Will be a fleshka knife, and then with a parva knife, the parva knife remains parv. What if it's a milchika knife? Then the onion itself is going to be a problem. Why? Because first the onion pulled out from the fleshika knife, then it pulled out of the milchika knife. So the onion is a serious problem. All right, and the binyomo, it's stodim, shasatchak, but on a simple level, it's a serious problem. The question will be, what's the status of the milchika knife? Does the milchika knife require hagola? According to the Evan Ozer's svara, it's very possible that the milchika knife might require a hagola. Why? Because once we say that the onion is treif, right? So the onion becomes treif as soon as I cut, so the onion can then have an immediate impact on the knife. We have to kasha the knife. The Chavas Das had a different service for yesterday. Ein belua yotze belo rotev. So according to that svara of ein belua yotze below rotev, right? What we say from ochel lekli below rotev. So nothing is going to get into that milcha knife. So the milcha knife would not have to be kasher, even though you cut with it an onion which had been cut previously with a fleishka knife, and even though the onion itself would become treif, but doesn't get back from the onion into the knife without rotif. So that's the difference between the Chavas Das and the Eben Ozer on that nekuda. So I didn't spell that out yesterday properly. That's point number one. Point number two, Joel wins the prize, 5 points of the Bechina. He found the answer to my question, although I'm still not convinced that the answer is documented in the source that's quoted. We were discussing yesterday, can you allow to cook pears? That's the example I gave, the shot I had. May you cook pears in a milchika pot with the premeditated intention, the chatchila, to eat them right as dessert in a fleishika meal. So from the perspective of the kelim, we discussed that already. It's a pre-chadosh, it's a pre-megodim, a ben-yom, or ain't a ben-yom. That's yesterday, Shiv. But we didn't find any source, beferish in print, ben-yom or ain't a ben-yom, for that matter, from the perspective of 6 hours. Until we found it in the Bari HaShulchan, back in Simon Pei Tes, where he says over here, toward the end of Sivkoton Sadi, and I read to you as follows. If you cook it, you don't have to wait 6 hours. That's pshita. For after chatchila mutter levashel adata dehochi leochlo toch vav shos. He paskens asha even by a benyoma. My psak was an ena benyoma. You let a cook it in the middle of a pot ena benyoma in order to have it less than 6 hours after the fleishik lunch. But he's saying even better. Even a benyoma, it's the missile. Great. I told you this yesterday when I said that it was mutter ena benyoma. I wasn't taking a position on Ben Yomo. Well, he takes a position, the kula, on Ben Yomo. Who said so? Reish. Kein mashma v'tuv tam v'das shom. Chel le'gimel simen kuf pe gimel. And quote in Dak Etshuvah, Suf Kot Mebez. So I told you all yesterday, I didn't see it in Dak Etshuvah. Today brings me the tuv tam v'das. I didn't see it there either. He's going to look for it to get the real prize. You have to see where. Kein, what is his lashon over here? Kein mashma. I'm not sure what the mashmos is. I haven't seen it yet. I looked through it quickly in the base medish, but I wasn't looking quickly carefully enough. Okay, tomorrow let me know. Good. Now, Rabosai, having said this, we can start the final topic in this Chazara before I want to spend the second part of today's shiur on important matters that we spoke about last Thursday. Okay, very important, long overdue. Is the sugya of Pas Chalovis, which is not a Gemara in Chul at all. It's a Gemara in Psochim, which the Rif and the Rush quote, both of them quote here, and Amasechta here in Masechta Chulin, because they often do that. They quote things which have more to do with the different Masechta and a different Masechta. Here, of course, it's a lot to do with Basa Lecholov. So we're going to discuss this idea of Pascha Lovis just by looking in the original sources just for a little bit, and then we'll see. Now, one place to look is in the Rif, where the Rif quotes the sugya here from Masechta Psochim. You can either turn to the Rif or turn to the Rush. The Rush, I think the Rush is Simon Chaf Aleph, if I'm not mistaken. That's what I think. Where is the Rif? I'm not finding the right page right now. We'll find it as we go. We know what it says. The Gemara says in Masechta Psachim that there is a iser to be lush a pas with chalav, to knead dough with milk, but there's a heter. It's called kein tura. So you have to understand what this heter of kein tura is. What does it mean, kein tura? So there's a big machlokas between Rashi and the Rif on this map. Rashi says it's a small amount. A small amount is permissible. Very nice. How small is small? Not clear. Well, look on the Rush. It'll be easy to find. Rosh Perek Chesim and Chof Aleph, Kasina Perek Kol Shah, and Lashin Esa Isa Becholov, Vim Lash Kol HaPaskul Asura. You can't eat it at all, not even by itself. Okay? Elosh V'shani Vavidnu Kentura Shari. Pirush Rashi Shem, Kentura Shlo Asa Kiyim Dava Muat, Uga Ktanak Eno Shal Shor. That's what Rashi says. But the Rosh gave away by adding a word which came from the Rif, which is Vishani. That's not found in Shas Bavli. It's found in the Rif, Vishani. What does Vishani mean? He made it an unusual form. So the Rif learns Tur as an unusual form. There's a certain shape. The shape of, he's talking about the case of Alya, of an ox, which indicates that it's fleshik. And that would indicate that it's, everyone knows it's fleshik and not going to eat with milk is by mistake. Fine. It's machlokas Rashi in the Rosh. Even within Shitas Rashi, that you have to make a small amount. How small is small? Right? How small is small? Not completely clear how small is small. If you look in the Beis Yosef, he quotes that eat nechal meir b'shabbos is kein tura. Okay, it means if you eat it within one day, it's considered kein tura and it's permissible. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch here in Siman Sadi Zayin Sif Aleph, in Loshni Yisrael b'cholav Hashem Yavol Ochle in Basar in Losh Kol Apas Asur. Afilu liyachol levada, m'haya d'over mu'ot, k'dei achila b'vas achas. That's Rashi Shita. Then he quotes, shina turas apas nikeres. That's the Shita Sarif. So both the term work. But he says, b'vas achas. The b'vas achas, that's not the same as we saw. How you define d'over mu'ot? Take a look in the Sif Se Das Aleph, paragraph V'im. So it's a machlokes within the opinion that it's that Tura means a davar muat. What exactly does it mean? Fine. It's interesting if you look at the Pisket Shuva here in Siv Katan Gimel. Quotes the Maharit, the source of much wisdom, and this took is the Shuvas Maharit. He says, "Ein mo'al shinarak bebeso, pas meruba limkar b'shuk asur, the orchem ayakiru b'shinu." They won't understand what the shinu means. I hold door, he'll put an advertisement. Also, why? He'll forget to advertise. More than that, Chavazda says, "Shinu ein mo'al rak shashina b'shas afia, lohoyal of isur klal." Avolasas shinu achas shekvar nesar eno moel v'chein lechalko lehabim bnei odom shegiya lecholecha davar muat asur. Why? Kevan kvar nesar v'nasa nevela. Whoa! So the lumdus of the Chavos Das is quite clear. Abosai, he says the nature of the isur is an isur atzmi nasa nevela, and no tikkun is going to work after you finish baking it, because it's nothing's going to happen too late. You can't make a shinui afterwards. You can't be a mechalak a little bit afterwards. Nothing's going to work because it's too late. That's it. Over. It's over. If this is correct, Rabbi Osai, if this is correct, then a pas is macholas asuras mamish, and if it falls into something else, it's going to asur b'shishim like any other macholas asuras. This seems to be the one view. There's an additional view which maintains. Not so simple. Not simple at all. The nature of the Yisr is totally different. This seems to be the Peshitta of the Shach, quoted over here in Sifkot and Beis. He quotes Agos, Yisr v'heter. Take a look. Certain leniencies. What are the particular leniencies? A Sfek Sveka. Sfek Zavolos of. And Tim Taloma Azov, that the milk or flesh is spilling it. What does he say? He says, find the right place. Shem aleyochle macholov ad kan l'shono. Okay? So there's a question whether that counts. Some say it doesn't count because he's going to inevitably eat it with cholov at one point in time. What do you see from this whole discussion? That they shach and those he quotes consider pas cholovas to be a suffic iser. The iser is you may eat it with the opposite kind. If it's milk, you may eat it with fleshik. Apparently, this is not considered to be an independent prohibition. And as a matter of fact, the Daka Tshuva says, it's relevant, we call Chaticha Ruil Iskabe. In Simen Kuf Aleph, Siv Beis, we are taught that, we'll get to that Mitzvah Shem next month, that certain things are not Batel Barov, including what's called Chaticha Ruil Iskabe. And in that ruling, in Kuf Aleph, Siv Cotton Beis, is a very important proviso. When do we say something is Ruil Iskabe? Isu Machmas Atzma, Nevela, Basa Becholov, etc. If only us, because they received time from something else, then it's not considered Ruil Iskabe. It's only something else in the item. So the shadow would be, what's the status of Pas? Is Pas considered to be Isu Machmas Atzma? Dr. Shubha suggests, no. That's based on the Shach, who says it's not an Isu Atzmi. The Chov is not an Isu Atzmi. We saw before from the Chavis Das, is incorrect. Why can't you fix it up later on? It's not Nas and Avela. It's only a Takola. You may come to something. That's why it's only a Svek Sveka over here, according to the Shach. Seems to be two points of view. Now, it's interesting that the Chavaz Das himself, who seems to be the Nas and Avela man, when he quotes at Tzemach Tzedek, who said that if the Pasakim falls into something else, Asa B'Shishim, he has two words, Ve'eno Mukhra. Now, that's interesting because according to the Nas and Avela, why not? Maybe he holds that Nas and Avela L'chumra, but Eino Mukhruch, maybe it wouldn't go so far as to say it's going to ask us something B'shishim. But the Chorah should be, at first glance, Ha B'Hotaya. That's what I would have said. This is a very serious question. Nafkamina for Kalim. Rav Shech Tashlita speaks about this in his pieces for the OU, whether the Kalim would absorb from Paschalovis become Asur or don't become Asur. So Kol's man, it's baking, it won't become us. Because at that point in time, you can still make a shinui. Kol's man, it's being baked. You can still some do, write down basar, write down cholov, which we said it works in the if it's engraved, if you will, into the past before it's completed. So at that point in time, it's going to be okay. At a later point in time, it's not so simple. That seems to be this dispute which we just spoke about. Is it considered to be a macholas asuras mamash or not? And of course, there were those who wanted to say, and then we don't think they write a halacha. If that's the case, you take the lenient view, you can sell. Someone's like, I had this phone call just 2 days ago. I want to buy a certain bread, it's called K-Dairy. Wonder Bread. K-Dairy. Told me you can't buy it. So what's the lumbness of Baal Mashkiach of K-Dairy? He learns a more lenient view. It's not considered an independent prohibition, which seems to be implicit in the Shach. And he says, therefore, if I put a sign, milchik, on it, even after it's baked, it'll be mutter, against the Chavis Das' earlier statement. And then he assumes, he put in a wrapper, that also counts. Now the first assumptions are very questionable, but the last one is the most questionable. You take it out of the wrapper, put it on the table. As we said before, what's going on over here? So, I told the person not to buy it, to buy instead the OU parva bread. That's what I told him. One more nakuda as far as dairy bread, which is, what does it apply to? Does it apply to other items aside from bread? Is it limited to bread, this zera, or does it go beyond bread? So the Taz really starts talking about over here at the very beginning of the Simen, in Simen Sadi Zayin, Sivkotan Aleph. He wants to know, Meducha Shadochim B'Psamim, and you do this Psalm with Basa B'Cholav, it's a problem. He extends it beyond bread to other possible to other foods as well. Some say that it's correct, and some say that it's not correct. Some say it only applies to pas, because kach gazu chachamim, and some say it's pas v'hadomelo, whatever domelo means, something similar to pas. That's a question. The Taz applies again to everything. Or no, the Prichodesh of Kardinalev says it's wrong. And if you look on the Mishpat Zov over here in Sivkot and Aleph and Tzadi Zayin, he says no, the Prichodesh says it's not true. It's not true. The only Xero is only when it comes to Pas. It does not apply to other items. Now, that's what the Poskim suggests. Machlokas Gedolei HaPoskim, I'm not here to decide whether it applies to pas, to pas v'adomolo, or to everything which is normally made in parva. Right? Normally, it can even apply to juice, which is a wine that the Nachas we spoke about. It's normally parva. You put some dairy into the wine, even there perhaps the Xeris Chazal applies. We're not sure about these things. And this leads to our last point on this Nakuda, which is, what if it's bottle b'shish? What if it's bottle b'shish? So this is very, very important to understand what the halacha is, because halacha l'maisa, it's very important. If you look in the Chavas Das, he talks about the possibility of being bottle b'shishim. It's not considered mevatel issa l'chatchila, because I guess it's not issa in the first place. And the Prichodesh says, not only is it permissible to eat a piece of bread which has a less than 1/60th of milk in it with milk or by itself, you're even allowed to eat it with meat. It's not considered mevatel issa l'chatchila. This is a chiddush gadol. The Nachas Tzvi said it in a case where you didn't really intend to be mevatel issa, you just wanted to clarify the wine. Things of this nature. It wasn't mechavin for it. Not committed for certain enzymes, which we saw that the Mefarshim talk about. You put enzymes into which have a small amount of dairy and label it as parv. Yes or no? It's a big tumult. And if you recall, we mentioned that the English muffins that have OUD on them originally was considered to be a slam dunk, because originally when they first put on English muffins were only made in milchiks, and therefore everyone would understand that it's milchiks. In the same way you're allowed to have a cheesecake, no problem, it's milchiks, so too English muffin. Rav Shechter Shlita to point that out, that's no longer true, because now many years later they make many parva English muffins. So once it's made in parva, you have a serious problem. If he writes in bold letters, the mashkir has to be so careful to make sure that it's less than 1/60th in the makeup of the dough of the English muffin. And then Rav Shechter Shlita Paskins, like the middle view. What's the middle view? So three views if it's less than 1/60th. One said it's aser mamish, you can't use it at all, and mevatel issa l'chatchila, and it's maybe aser b'dieved in certain cases. One says heter gomer, can have it with meat. So the Prichodesh suggested that. And he said, we pass like the middle view. What's the middle view? It's mutter, but you may not have it with meat. And if Rav Shechter is mechadish, that if you have it with meat, that itself is somehow considered to be a bittul issa l'chatchila at that late stage in time, because now you decided to use this bread which has a little bit of dairy in it with meat. So therefore he insists that it be a bottle b'shishim and be marked OUD. So therefore, even though it's not marked OUD in the actual muffin itself, and even though the original heter that everyone knows it's milchiks no longer applies, afal pikein, it's marked OUD, so the average person is not going to have a michshol and have it with meat, which in turn would be a violation, somehow in retrospect, of bittul issa l'chatchila. You may take it out of the wrapper. Yeah, so if it's nasa nevela mamish, so we don't rely upon, we don't rely upon a late change, and B, we may take out of the wrapper. Here, the worst case scenario is not that he's eating meat and milk, chalil v'chas, the milk is batel b'shishin. The worst case scenario is that we call a bit lis l'chatchila when he has this English muffin together with a sandwich with a hamburger. Okay, so we have to hope it won't happen. And we should, since the worst case scenario is not so bad, so Rav Shechter Shlita's matter for the OUD to continue producing OUD English muffins with less than shishim in it, even though the original het that they relied upon, that everyone knows it's milchiks, no longer applies. Okay? That's what we spoke about, milchik bread. Now, I have one final topic to talk about in the Chazara before we go to the Inyanim, Berumo Shalom, as I call it. And that is kashering our ovens. And the reason we speak about it now, that we hope to talk about it at the very end of the year, talk about Liban and Hagala, so we're not ever going to be here then, A. And B, it comes in explicitly in the sugya in Pesachim. The Rosh quotes it over here in Simon Chaf Aleph. In Tosh Kol HaPaskula Asura, Achayusat Tanur. So we're learning now a new Chiddush that you can kasher a Tanur by making it hot. So if you look in the Divrei Chamudos Kufei, Mi Bifnim Achayislabe. Vafilu Mubukhya Shisikum Yibachutz. Ein lo atayrai de hesik mi b'chutz, k'diyisa perikol shah. That's what it says. You have to have from the inside, even though it was the when you actually use it from the outside. And if you take a look on the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Sadi Zayin Sefes, here it is, black on white. What does it say? Tanu shetochel ba'aliyah and often ba'pas achi asikana b'befnim achi eslabein. I feel the mushal buchya. Pirish licheresh and mesikim tachla v'ofen alvugas means for the fires on the outside. Ein lo hetai de hesik mi b'chutz. We just read it together in the Divrei Chamudos on the Rosh Siman Chaf Aleph. Fine. So the question that becomes how you define kashering an oven. How do you kasher an oven? So we go back to some. It's really sort of introductory remarks, if you will, to what we hope to discuss at greater length in a few months from now. But I felt it's important to go over it now again for the reason we mentioned before. Number one. We had on the board, this is Chazar, from we learned just a very short time ago, last week. We saw a Gemara and Ayin Vav in Avodah Zarah with a Rashi, where Rashi applies the principle of Kabbalah Kachpolto to Libun. Notwithstanding the fact that Rashi seems to say, and that's an Ayin Hayim and Beis, that Rashi seems to say, on the Ayin Vav, Amun Aleph, the Rashi seems to say that the way that Liban works is the way the Ra'ah said it works. We spoke about that in a more recent shiur earlier this week, I think on Sunday, where he says, the Liban sorry for Sakli, end quote. Doesn't mean it burns up the Kli, the Kasha is burnt. It means Liban sorry for the Belia, which is in the Kli. It's not that it's mafled it, but he burns it. It burns. Nonetheless, Rashi applies the principle of Kabbalah Kachpolto Beliban, which confirms the view, which I heard from my Rebbe, Zichron Levracha. We'll see other sources as well that if you heat up the oven at the same temperature that it was used beisr, maybe isr chametz or some anyway or b'chol b'chol, as the case may be, then we would say that the kashering process works. This is in contradiction to the Prima Gadim and Rav Moshe Shufal, the Prima Gadim, who say no, impossible to apply the principle of Kabbalah Kachpolto to Liban because Liban is not maflit in sorfa b'mkomo. We have a Rashi Fakert. The Rashi seems to say that even though Rashi says Sof B'mkomo, you still apply the principle of Kabbalah Kachpolto, which I understand to mean, though can't prove it so far, that not just that the process of Liban is being used, but the same temperature that was achieved on the way in must be achieved on the way out, and no higher. We brought a Raya from the Tshuvas Maimonios. Remember that one? How could you forget? It's unforgettable. Where they quote three different Rebbetzins who have to do with Rashi's... I still haven't seen Rashi's full family tree, but the three different Rebbetzins were quoted in that tshuva. The case was that they had they would use the same baking implement for fleishiks and for milchiks, and the answer was the reason they did it was quote hayregilim lachso lechamamo v'noma kibolo kachpolto. And the Sha'ati Lamonas Dodi Ri Baloya Mocha Biyodam, under the same machmas, they would do Pashtida, which is Fleshiks, and Paldladin, which is Milchiks, Hoyomasikin Rakiderech Ofim, the Chain Noga Bebes Rabbeinu Meir Zakeni, with a base of Aris Miriam Baspital Shabbeinu Shlomo Rashi. So the whole Rashi's dynasty that were Megil, except it was a Miriam who we're not sure, who married into the family, and we're not sure if Rabbeinu Tam, who was her second husband, told her that, or her first husband was Rogel B'chumris. Remember that one? We saw that. So therefore, there's a lot of room to be making on the Shaila, that certainly with respect to Basa B'chalav, but perhaps even with respect to Treif, that we would apply Kibolo Kachpolto, because the idea of a Terah Bol is only thrown in as an afterthought, as an extra sniff in this presentation, which is found in the Tshuvas Maimonios in the back of the Chos Macholos Asuris Simen Hay. That's where you'll find in the Minchas Yitzchak. We saw a classic Tshuva Chela Gimel Simen Samach Vav, beautiful Tshuva. He would like to be Mekel to Kasher and Oven based upon this Tshuvas Maimonides, and he goes back and forth with other considerations. He seems to have a few riots to the Chumrah. We would docha those riots. We're not going into all those details now. A couple of riots from Arachas, and a riot from another place in all in Siman Tov Nun Aleph. We were docha those riots. Maybe you're afraid that in one case he's going to be mekalkel the kli. The Gemara has them as comes to klei cheres. You can't do regular leaving because you're afraid the chayas le dimapaki. Have too much rachmanis. Maybe it's going to break. You won't do a good job. We'll take it out too early. This might apply in that particular case. We had a kisu shel barzel shemesimen also al charora shenevah lagabekira. So some want to say it's enough to have an effect a kibola kachpoto, and the Beis Yosef seems to reject this. That's how the Prima Gadim assumes. We had a different pshat. He would say he rejected Rabbi Osai the following. We suggested as follows. Libun Kal is working over in that particular case, and it works by Chometz, because he held, this is Rabbi Nirucham, but the Beis Yosef quoted, Hetei Rabola, and the Beis Yosef says it's wrong, doesn't mean that a Libun of Kabbalah Kachpolto will not work by Yisur Rabola. No, it's not true. It would work even by Yisur Rabola. That the Pshat is no. Kabbalah Kachpolto works. It's considered to be Libun Chama even by Yisur Rabola. Rather, Rabbi Yerucham was saying Libun Kal works by Chometz, a terabola. And that the Beis Yosef argued and said, no, there were many Rishonim who say that Chometz before Pesach is Yisur Rabola, because Chometz Shmo Olaf. So therefore, the various rites of the Michas Hitzchah and the Prima Gadim really are not compelling, and therefore we have room to rely on the Tshuvas of Maimonides and the dynasty of Rashi through the Rebbes. The only question is, are Avins have a particular issue? They seem to fall short on the criterion found in the Divrei Chamudos and the Shulchan Aruch based on the Gemara Pesachim, because the Hesek is Mibachutz. In most ovens today, you put onto the highest, still the fire is going to be underneath that floor of the oven or behind the walls or the ceiling, as the case may be. That's Mibachutz. So we suggested that some poskim say only time we say this is buch, which is a kli cheretz. Kli cheretz does not conduct heat very well, so therefore if the fire is on the outside, it does not suffice. But our ovens are fundamentally made from metal. You take a magnet, you'll see, made from metal. And made from metal, metal conducts heat very well, so we should suggest that hesed mibachutz should suffice. Problem is, our ovens have a small, thin, little coating, if you will, of porcelain, which is considered to be cheres according to most authorities. But the answer might be, doesn't make a difference. It's still a very, very thin layer, and the inner wall will get very, very, very hot, because it's the metal, which is the fundamental ingredient, if you will, of the component of the walls of the oven. And therefore, the fact that there's a little slight coating of porcelain is not going to stop that coating and the metal nearby from reaching a very, very high level of heat. How high? We said usually 550. That's not Nitzotzos Nitzin. Rav Moshe's Nitzotzos Nitzin is 700 degrees. That's where, according to Rav Moshe, a self-cleaning oven is an automatic that hits 900 degrees. Okay, there's a question about the door. We'll get to that perhaps at some later date. But our oven is only 550. According to Rav Moshe, the Prima Gadim is no good. No good. So if a Pesach of Rav Moshe pass, you have to have an insert or a blowtorch, which I don't recommend. It's dangerous. But we're assuming, as my Rebbe taught us, that Mikir Adin, we machmeh, fine, it pays for a lot of chumas. But Mikir Adin, to put it to the highest temperature, almost it's completely clean, would suffice. And he said it not only for Pesach, which some say is a terabola, but you walk into a kitchen that was used by a treifa person before you, there also it would work, Meikir Adin. Okay? This is the issue. Now, the additional issue, which is a very important issue, goes back to what we spoke about a month ago, is that our ovens don't receive tarfus or chametz, as the case may be, directly. Usually you don't put chametz to the food on the floor of the oven. Rather, you put it on a in a pot, on a rack, and this, and that, and tinfoil, whatever you're doing. And then you're afraid of it, we call it a zeil, some leakage. You pointed out that the poskim say that this, go back to Mishnah Berurah Hilchos Pesach, Tov Samach Aleph, the chumra of requiring gecholim al pnei kula, which means really a very, very hot fire, a fire of Yitzotzes Nitzin, only apply to the floor where the actual chametz would actually light a pizza oven. You put the pizza oven on the floor of the oven, v'chadoyim. However, if the chametz came in only through zeo leakage, then the poskim say you don't have to have Yitzotzes Nitzin with coals throughout, as long as it gets hot. How hot is hot? So if you assume you need libun chomer, it should be the way we suggested, the way the machmirim say 700 degrees. The way we suggested kabbalah kapolta b'libun, the highest temperature that this particular oven can reach. And if you want to be even more makel, say libun kal. Libun kal, according to most authorities, although it's not found in the Gemara anywhere, the concept is it's the equivalent of agola. So if agola is going to work on before Pesach, because it's a terabola, according to that shita, it would work over here as well. Libun kal means it should be, presumably, the yad so let us both through and through. That's the pashup shot what libun kal is, and you have to test it by putting a little piece of straw on the other side, as the poskim say. This is very, very important to understand, again, some of these fundamentals of libun. So I wanted to mention that the Rambam seems to have his own unique view. He says, if you want to kasher a knife, you have to either be malab in it. What does that mean, malab in it? You put it in fire. Or mashchiza. What does it mean? It's a Mishnah in the last daf in Avodah Zarah. Hasakin shafa v'hi tohara. It means mashchiza. What does that mean? Mechava quotes the Rambam in Kuf Chof Aleph Siv Zayin. Rambam says, no, it doesn't help. The mashchiza is only going to take away the top layer. So and it goes, balua me'ever aleva, through and through. How can it be? According to the Rambam, we get the following impression, Rabbi Osai. I did Svei Dinim in Bliya. There's a very, very powerful Bliya on the outside layer, if you will, of the knife. That requires a fire to remove it. If you don't have a fire, there's an alternative. Remove it physically. Hashchasa. You sharpen the knife with a certain implement, which will simply physically remove the outer layer. You will still have to, presumably, as the Mordechai said in Siman Tov Tov Samach, Hishchizen Berechaim Shaleven Dayach HaKach B'Hagolam, to the Tzvei Dinin. We said that the Libun is not kashered by regular Hagolah because the outer peel gets in too tough. Won't come out with Hagolah. So you have to eat two choices, do Libun or remove it physically. If you remove it physically, you still have to worry about the inside. But that's enough to have a golem. Achidas ha-mordechai. That's what we assume. And this is relevant to certain issues of, we spoke about the Afer. The Afer, which we spoke yesterday as being a kula, how far do we assume that goes? It's a question of, why it is that there is a greater absorption in Libun which cannot come out to Agola. Do we pass in the Halacha? It's just two layers, as the Mordechai seemed to say? Or no, it just gets more tightly absorbed than it won't come out. It won't come out. That's the question. Can you kasher a kli which will absorb through fire by putting water with Afer in it? We pass in the Chumra. Because it's not just a matter of where it goes; it's a deeper absorption, and therefore the Afer will not work. We'll stop here. Mostly, I want to talk about other minyanim, and Mishnah tomorrow. The Bechina will be shortly after 9 o'clock in the morning. I brought with me again where I started.